Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. We are live from McDonald's on Northside Drive in Atlanta. Stop on by, have breakfast with us. Having a lot of people come up. It is so nice to meet everyone. Garrett is in for it. Dylan today, back at the station. Gordon's keeping us on air out here at McDonald's. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Mike, do you want to speak to Garrett right now?
Well, you know, this is one of those things where Garrett is back at the studio, so I can't drop a read the room on Garrett because he's not here. But if this were a read the room situation, I don't think this song really fits right now. But it's all good. It definitely wouldn't have fit next week because
that's what I was going to say. Smoke, we can't play this next week, so might as well play it now.
That's so
next
true.
Week, this is off the playlist.
There you go, man.
It's you know, Garrett is a little bit of an antagonist, you know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He's trying to start.
He plays this really nice, look at me. He says, my pleasure after everything. But in reality, nah.
I love it, man. I love it. Nice word, G.
Well, this Sunday, the Falcons are heading to Charlotte to take on the Panthers. We are 1-1 right now. Would love to make that 2-1. Kind of looking at the previews for this game, you guys have been sizing up the offense, the defense. Can the explosive offense kind of find its legs in the game? I know we've been having some issues.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, Bo, and I was going to throw this out at you today. Where's our belief level right now in the first 2 weeks, what we've seen out of Kyle Pitts? That's what I can't decide. When I looked at Kyle Pitts after week one, I was like, Kyle Pitts against Tampa has been really good. Even going back to last year, like Kyle Pitts got half of his receiving stats against Tampa in two games last year. And then he comes out, and not that his stats were over the top crazy last week, but you could tell in the way he was playing that he's still playing with an edge. He's showing, you know, the burst off the line of scrimmage. He's showing willingness in the blocking game. I think if we can get three of those in a row, then I'm really, really on board the Kyle Pitts train in terms of, you know, the rest of the season.
Now, this is the most important year of his career. Look, Kyle Pitts will play in this league for another 7 years to 10 years if he wants to. If he stays healthy and then he actually wants to play in the league, he'll be here. That said, how much he's compensated for that and how you know, and those things are going to be very dependent on this year. He goes out and has – he's got almost 3,000 yards in his career, 2,700.
Yep.
Well, like 1,100 of those was in his rookie year. So there's been a decline. Obviously, injury played a part in that. But I have to tell you that my confidence level in him is as high as it's been since his rookie year.
I agree.
Because of the way there's little things that you haven't seen from him that you are seeing this year. The aggressiveness downfield and blocking, not only He's never going to be a great blocker. That's just not who – it's just not it, okay? It's not who he is, and it's not necessarily a skill set.
Like my old coach would say, done enough lead in his pants right there. You
know yeah. What I mean? But, however, when I see Drake catch a ball when it's second and 20 and you need to put the game away and Drake catches a little five-yard in or, like, a little slant and takes it 20 yards, and one of the reasons is because Kyle Pitts is blocking his butt off downfield.
Yeah.
That makes me feel great. People think we're – like there's people think I'm unfair on Kyle Pitts on the station, which is really ridiculous because I defended him to – it was undefendable. But I'm also going to give him all the love when he deserves it. Right now he deserves every bit of love that we can give him. My tight end has 4 or 5 catches in a game. That's good for me.
Yeah.
Catches just – tight ends
just don't – what is he got, 11 on the year right now?
Yeah, they just don't – yeah, and tight ends don't have 115 reception seasons. It's not really – you know, and if they do, they're not going to have – they don't go for, I guess, 12 for 160 normally in
games. Right, yeah.
The stat line – somebody asked me a stat line, and I was like, I don't know. Like, a tight end, like, 6 for 76.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's a phenomenal day.
That's a top-tier tight end. That's what I would expect. You know, that they're Drake London was used as a tight end last year. That's why he had so many catches.
Power slot.
So
yeah, I completely agree with that assessment. And you know, G just texted us. I think it's great. And this stat that Garrett just sent is exactly why I answered Allie's question with a question that Kyle Pitts has 5 of the Falcons' 20th longest plays of the season. He is really, in a lot of ways, the secret to unlocking the explosiveness of this team, specifically when you look at the fact that Drake has been dinged up. Darnell was out in week one. Kyle Pitts has attacked the football in the passing game. He's used the length of his arms in a way that I expect him to do it the first couple of years. And if he can do that and take that to the red zone, take that to some of the, you know, the routes on the goal line where he just uses his body to kind of wall off defenders, then I think that can be another reason we can kind of step ahead in the red zone percentage.
Let's talk about that red zone topic because it's been the buzzword all week. That's what everybody wants to see an improvement on. And Drake London actually talked to the media about that.
Yeah, it's only going to get better from here. I think it's decent right now with what teams are giving us. Mm-hmm. But I know we need to score, and that's our goal every time we get into the red zone is score. So definitely working on it and trying our best to make it better.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I think we expect Drake London to always be the guy that attacks the football. We put him up to bat against Tampa. That was the play I believe he was injured on.
Yes, yeah.
And everybody else knows that as well, right? That's one of the things about Drake London is once we start getting in these situations, and I think one of the beauties of him playing that power slot position a year ago was, you know, we could utilize him in multiple ways and kind of move him around. I also want to bring up the fact that we've run a little more 12 personnel and this year, and so that's kind of taken Ray out of some of the roles that Ray had a year ago and some of those slot position roles. So I don't know. I think the world of Drake London, when we had a chance to talk to him face-to-face, told him straight to his face that I think he's the best 50-50 ball guy in the league. You know, and you would think that looking at the red zone that would mean that he would be able to have some of those jump passes and, you know, back underneath the goalposts and things like that. Just hasn't materialized. And I think that the fact that he's aware of it, and you hear that in his voice, and that Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris, you know, as well, I think bodes well for this team kind of moving into this weekend.
There's a couple of things. The jump pass is such a low percentage. Like when you're throwing a jump, let me rephrase it. When you're throwing a jump ball, that's a low percentage play. I don't think that, you know, that's not this to me. That's not the, you know, a very high. So when you do that, normally those are kind of hot route type things. Where I mean is like the quarterback's just predetermined out of the huddle. I'm drop back and I'm putting you up to bat. And so when a lot of times this happens, you're taking a lot of things away. So I think part of the reason, though, they haven't been able to do as much or do some of that stuff is because of how they've gotten behind in that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would like it to be an opportunity where if he has to, he can put him up to bat. But I think you have nailed it as far as what you've said for a while now. And you were kind of saying it last year, and I didn't really feel like it was you kind of wanted it more with the wild card last year. I think Penix needs to be on the move a little bit in that area. Now, I'm not saying I want to roll him out and take away half the field. But I do want a play that is kind of designed for him down there to just break things up a little bit.
I agree.
Give him something else to look at. And I think you've done a good job of pointing that out.
It's the Desmond Ridder special, right? And then when you run an offense that has wide zone the way that Arthur Smith brought to Atlanta, and really, if you want to trace the roots all the way back, here's a blast from the past. Arthur Smith kind of, I think his roots in this come from Mike Mularkey when their time together at Tennessee. And I think that's one of the things that I've always looked at. So when I think about our offense under Mike Mularkey, that's why I always go with some of these things. Now, we didn't have the ability to do that with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan wasn't going to outrun anybody to the pylon, right? But Michael Penix can, and I think that's one of the reasons. Don't want to run him much. Don't want to put him in harm's way. But I would say 25 of the offenses in the NFL right now will feature some type of zone read in situations like that. The other problem is for me when I look at the offensive play calling is we've tried to run the ball up the middle more when we've gotten into the tight red zone, which it hasn't been successful. We've seen the fourth and one get stuffed. We've seen a number of other plays up the middle get stuffed. Here's what happens, though, usually when that happens. Hey, Zach Robinson, call a play action pass off of some of those dives, right, where the quarterback can hand it off and it looks like Algier up the middle and then you kind of roll Penix out. Or he's under center and you can try to do some different things and hit somebody over the top of the line of scrimmage. We don't get the plays up the middle and then it's like, oh, well, we can't score up the middle. Let's run a speed sweep. There's a fracture right there.
I think that some of the things people are calling for, they're doing, though, and they don't realize it. And I'm not trying to point anybody out or call anybody out, but I was listening to Mike and Carl yesterday, and Mike wants Bijan more in the red area to be used as a receiver. And I was sitting there, and I was listening to him on the way home when, you know, because I was bringing Pork Chop home, and I literally remember where we saw it in that area where, you know, they were attacking with blitzers, Bijan trying to take those guys on, and so Zach's adjustment was, I'm going to move Charlie in there and into the spot next to where Bijan would be. And I'm going to move Bijan to Charlie's spot. So now Bijan is – and I don't know if he chipped every time, but, you know, just maybe throwing a chip and releasing to the flat area or kind of finding his way in a soft spot of the zone more out in a pattern like in the middle of the field. But you got to catch it. You got to connect on those, and that's part of it. I just don't think that there's one problem. It's not just play calling. It's not just protection. It's not just receivers routes. It's not just Penix's throws. It's literally a complementary of failures.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And so, and I hate that term failure because I don't think, you know, but they're not getting the job done. So that's all you can see. It. They're getting down there. They're just stalling.
Well, the best offensive play callers, and I know we need to kind of put a bow on this, but the best offensive play callers to me are ones that self-scout week to week, all right, and then make adjustments based on that. So, for example, you just talked about the fact that we have put Charlie Warner in the backfield in shotgun to pick up blitzers, you know, that because he's probably better at picking up blitzers than Bijan Robinson right now. All right, so then if we moved into this week, we should have some type of, you know, slip play where Charlie Warner acts like he's picking up a blitzer and then moves out in front and catches a pass. Now, will Charlie Warner catch a pass this week? Odds are no. You know, what did we get two out of him last year? I don't know what it is, but that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Build self-scout and build off what you've already put on tape. And I think that if you do that in the red zone with some of the duo, some of the inside zone, then there's a lot of, you know, a lot of yards to be had right there.
And you got to keep mixing it up because you don't want Bijan taking those types of hits constantly. It's not just that he can't – he's not good. He's very good at picking up those blitz. I think he's the best in the league in the running back position. But, I mean, those are some collisions now.
Yeah.
And well, you don't want him taking all those.
Right. And we're going to keep diving into the Falcons-Panthers matchup throughout the show today. But tomorrow, I want to remind you, from noon until 2, you can join me, Allie Mack, and Gordon. You going to be out at Suns Kia tomorrow? All right. You can join me and Gordon out at Suns Kia in McDonough. We're getting you ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan is going to win the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with a rolling stand. Other prizes come along with it. And then another winner is going to take home tickets to the Washington-Atlanta game. That is tomorrow, Saturday, from noon until 2 at Suns Kia in McDonough. And coming up, we'll talk about last night's game, hear from Mike McDaniel when we zoom out, take a look at what's going on in the NFL in the huddle. That's next, live from McDonald's on Northside Drive on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.